Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my very sad giant friend, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Ramon. What's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's going on? Sad.
I'm doing all right. You
not sad.
I'm saying you're sad because, you know, no giant game today.
Nah, I'm not really. I mean, yeah, but I've been watching some football. I mean, I saw the Jet and the same game. And right now I'm watching the Steeler and Patriot game. And I'm monitoring my fantasy football. You know, I'm still watching football, even though the Giants are off this week.
That's good to hear. And, of course, you know, folks, we're going to lead off with Jets football as, you know, they come off a big win today, 26-20. And, of course, we're going to preview the Knicks-Timberwolves game, give you a little summary of how, you know, how the Knicks season's going on and the Nets season going on so far in the NBA. Talk a little Rangers, and of course, you know, end off the show with a little sports entertainment, a little TNA, you know how we do it on this show. And of course, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to get your voices heard. And with that, let's ground and pound with the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. And, you know, a nice win, you know, bouncing back from that horrible loss they had last week. And, you know, Geno Smith, you know, he used his feet, you know, got a, you know, rushing touchdown. Chris Ivory had a big game against his, you know, his former team, the Saints. The Saints came marching in, but, you know, once the Jets, you know, showed up, you know, as soon as the clock started for the game, you know, the Saints ran quicker than they came in. So, you know, Jets, you know, they defended their home turf, you know, as they're supposed to. And, well, actually, people expected them to lose, but, you know, you're at home. The Jets is at home, and Saints don't usually play, you know, well on the road, especially with a cold team. So, good thing the Jets, you know, got their number.
Yeah, that was a good win by the Jets. Jets played really good defense, and Chris Ivory was the MVP of this game. He killed his old team on the ground today.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And a nice little moment before the game, former Jet Brandon Moore, you know, the guy who was infamously, no pun intended, on the other end of the butt fumble by Mark Sanchez, you know, he retired. He officially retired a few days ago, but he came onto the field and, you know, was there to give his moral support for the team he spent, you know, his 11-year career with the Jets. So,
nice.
Congrats to him.
Yeah, congrats.
So, you know, with that, you know, Geno Smith, you know, he had a very good game. Drew Brees, you know, he did not look like Drew Brees today. I mean, he had some opportunities, and especially in the late quarters, you know, the Jet defense really shut him down.
Two interceptions today, although he did throw for 382 yards and 30 out of 51. But, yeah, he threw two interceptions, which is uncharacteristic of Drew Brees.
Absolutely. Not to mention, you know, he got sacked, especially by Mo Wilkerson. You know, Dee Milner had his best game of his career, but, you know, that, you know, he has a long way to go.
Yep.
But, you know, a great Jet win.
Yeah, Jets played some good defense. They got pressure on the New Orleans O-line all day, pressuring Drew Brees, making him drop back and, you know, getting in line of view. Jets played really good defense today. And, you know, like I said, Chris Ivory, he killed the Saints on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
He rushed for 139 yards, 18 carries, one TD. You know, he was definitely – him and the Jet defense were the MVPs of this game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. No doubt about it. The Jet defense were like a swarm of bees on Drew Brees.
Yeah.
That kind of rhymes. I must be ready for the Nick game. I'm getting my walk by Frazier on right now.
Yeah, Dr. Seuss.
But
it was a great game by Jets. Jets, you know, they have this trend where they win one, lose one, win one, lose one.
Exactly.
Last week they lose, this week they win.
Yeah, exactly. They've been playing up to the schedule, you know, basically. You know, they've been a 500 or slightly above 500 team, basically, you know.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole year, win one, lose one, win one, lose one.
You got to go on a winning streak here, like win two or three. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't think the Jets read that in the manual. You can win two in a row. It's not against the rules. You're not going to be charged roughing of the passer.
Yeah, you know.
So.
Because, I mean, if they keep doing that, they're going to finish 500, possibly.
Exactly. So they need to get that, you know, they need to put on some wins back to back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let's shift gears. We're a team, early season, you know, a team that almost could have won back-to-back games. And, of course, I'm talking about our New York Knicks. You know, they won the first game at home against the Bucks, and then they won. They lost a nail-biter by the Bulls on Halloween night. I mean, what's scarier than that?
Yeah.
I mean, Derrick Rose came out of the grave. I mean, this guy was literally injured like over a year ago, the same exact injury on the same exact day as Iman Shumpert got injured.
Yep.
And it took that guy until Halloween night to pop up.
Yeah, and he, you know, preseason he looked really good. He says he had some interest in his vertical, so he says he's jumping higher than he did before. So, like, he looks like he never left. You know, he still looks like the player that he was before he got injured.
Yeah, he got his confidence back, and he was wearing that that weird tape-looking thing on his neck. Yeah, you saw that in the game?
Yeah, I did see that. I was like, what the – is that for Halloween? I don't know what that was.
Yeah, apparently it's supposed to help his back or something, or at least his neck or something. But or maybe it's just a placebo. Maybe he thinks it helps his neck and – I have no idea, but, you know, it sure worked.
Yeah.
Because with, what, 5 seconds left in the game, he hit his, his vintage floater, one-handed floater, you know, to clinch the game, basically clinch the game for the Knicks. I mean, yeah, Knicks had a last-second shot opportunity with Melo, but, you know, it didn't go in.
Chandler missed one of those two free throws that he
had. Oh, yeah, that was the key.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as he missed that first one, I knew we were in trouble.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I thought he was going to miss the second one, too.
They rattled in.
Yeah, it just seems like when you're shooting a free throw and you miss the first one, especially a crucial free throw, if you miss the first one, I don't know what the statistics are, but it looks like, you know, there's a strong chance you're going to miss the second one.
Yeah.
You know, with all that pressure on you, you know.
But Knicks had although they didn't really play that good in the game, so they probably didn't deserve to win the game anyway, but, I mean.
Yeah, they didn't.
You know, but to come back that far and, you know, have a chance to win it, I mean, that was really disappointing.
It really was. I mean, I hate losses like that. I mean, those losses are even worse than blowouts.
Yeah.
I mean, blowout, you know you're going to lose. As embarrassing as they are, I mean, at least you know in a blowout, your team doesn't have a chance.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, unless the Knicks go on their typical runs, you know, when they get blown out by, like, 26, and then afterwards they come back, cut it to, like, one, and then afterwards they never tie the game and lose.
Yeah.
Those are the worst type of games. And that actually happened to the Bucks, the first game against the Knicks.
Because
we were leading them, like, what, 20, 25, 26 points. And then the second half, it was like, the first half, you know, they were playing, like, Laverne and Shirley. And then after the second half, they played, like, you know, the Fonz, man. They were, like, lining us up, man. We couldn't stop those guys.
Yeah, well, we, luckily we held on to win that game.
For sure, man.
And tonight we play the Minnesota T-Wolves.
Yep. Kevin Love and Rubio is gonna be.
Oh yeah.
Should be an interesting game. It's gonna come on about an hour after this show ends.
Yeah, at the Garden.
Oh yeah, MSG. And I'm switching gears with the Nets. You know, the Nets lost their first game. Trying to remember Cavaliers. It was in Cleveland. Wasn't that a 1-point game? I think it was, if I'm not mistaken.
It was close.
Yeah, it was close. It was between. It was either they lost by one or 4 points. I can't remember. And but they did bounce back. Against the Heat Friday night. You know, they always. You know, the Nets. They've always been preaching about winning that. You know, winning the championship. You know, the NBA championship this year. So, beating the reigning two-time defending world champions of basketball, the Heat. You know, that's a great feather in their cap.
Oh yeah, that's great. And you know, they're 1-1 now.
Yep.
After beating the Heat and the same record as us, as the Knicks.
Exactly. They won by the final score 101-100.
Yep.
So, they redeemed themselves from the first loss against the Cavs. I think the score was 99-95, if my memory serves me right, but I could be wrong.
I think so.
The first time.
Yeah, I can't remember the score either, so.
Yeah. But, a nice win by them. And the next game coming up for the Nets, Jason Kidd is going to make his coaching debut because, he got suspended the first two games because of because he had a DUI previously. So that's why he missed the first two games. So, it'll be interesting to see Kidd make his coaching debut for the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, yeah. See how he coaches throughout the season. This is his first role as a head coach.
Oh, yeah. And, Melo said that he was watching the game. He said that the Nets did what they had to do.
Yeah.
And, Melo plays his home games at MSG. But, of course, Mac, as you know, the Knicks aren't the only team at the Garden. The Rangers, they're playing well. They start off horribly. They won probably 2-7 on the road, before they won a couple of games after returning to the Garden. And I think they've won, 2 or 3 games in a row. And one of their best games of the year was last night when they won 5-1. Lundqvist had 27 saves. Stefan, he had a hat trick, scored 3 goals. Hagman had 2 goals, And he, good game by all.
So Rangers, what's your record right now?
I think they're, 6-8, I think they are.
500?
6-7. No, they're 6-7 or 6-8. I have to, check. But they had a horrible beginning, because they started the whole their regular season, the first 9 games on the road because, the Garden was renovated.
Right.
So, they started on the road.
Yeah, it looks like they're 6-7. Yeah, so they're close to 500. Yeah.
Yeah, especially with that horrible start that they had. It's refreshing to see the Rangers are, starting to score now.
Yeah.
Because they've been having a scoring drought, to start the year.
You're very fortunate.
Yeah, very, very fortunate. And, they're finally, playing on all cylinders right now. And shifting gears, let's talk a little WWE. And of course, the last Sunday was the Hell in the Cell.
Mm-hmm.
The Hell in the Cell pay-per-view event. Was it Hell in the Cell?
So many. It was Hell in the Cell.
Oh yeah, it was Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
There's so many pay-per-views nowadays. And of course, the biggest news is that as I suspected, even though I didn't want to be right, Daniel Bryan did not win the World Heavyweight Championship because his former mentor and former WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels super kicked him in the face when Daniel Bryan attacked Triple H, because Triple H was trying to interfere in favor of Randy Orton.
Screwed him over.
Yep. So now Daniel Bryan, he's going to most likely feud with Bray Wyatt and his family, because after Daniel Bryan on Raw Monday night, he attacked HBK in retaliation for Shawn Michaels' betrayal, at Sunday's night's Hell in the Cell pay-per-view event. Right after that, when he was doing a backstage interview, Bray Wyatt and his family attacked Daniel Bryan backstage. And then later that night, Bray Wyatt and his family attacked CM Punk. So I'm guessing for the Survivor Series pay-per-view event that's coming up this month, there's going to be a traditional, Survivor Series match between Daniel Bryan, CM Punk. I don't know who the other two or three other people who would be in that match. Would side with Bray Wyatt and his family and maybe two more other participants, I would assume.
That's kind of weird that they moved from the Daniel Bryan trying to get the championship storyline to this Wyatt family storyline now. I mean,
I totally agree with you.
Awkward transition.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I don't know why they did that, because Daniel Bryan, had so much momentum for him to win the title. I mean, he won it twice lately, but of course, due to the authority, Triple H's new group, they've basically literally screwed Daniel Bryan out of all his opportunities of being the face of the company.
Yeah.
So, and right now, you know, it's like 2005 all over again. You have Cena as the champion, the World Heavyweight Champion. You have Randy Orton, who's the WWE Champion, and who's feuding with him? It's the Big Show. So basically, it's all these guys who have, with the exception of Big Show, I mean, he probably has altogether maybe three to five championship reigns. I lost count.
Yeah.
But Randy Orton and Cena, I mean, my goodness. Orton is an 11-time champion. Cena, he's like I lost count. He's like 14, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Man, I lost count.
He won the WWE title like, 10 or 11 times, and he won the WCW, now it's called World Heavyweight title, like 3 times. So that's like 14 right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a math teacher, so I guess you could clearly see that right now. But in any case, I mean, geez, these guys keep taking – I mean, it's the same problem we've been having ever since 2005 to, 2011, probably,
yeah,
basically.
Pretty much.
The same guys keep winning the titles over and over again. I mean,
yeah,
it's like old hat. It's nothing major. And they're taking – and like you were saying, I don't know why they took Daniel Bryan out of the title hunt. Because it was working. And now they have Big Show – leeching off Daniel Bryan's popularity and yes taunt. And now, you know, Big Show is trying to win another title, and Daniel Bryan's not going to feud with Bray Wyatt now.
Daniel Bryan should sue him for that, man.
He should. He should sue him for that. Shoot, Big Show, next time Big Show does the yes, Daniel Bryan should go to his vintage heel mode and just start chanting no. Because that's a blatant ripoff of Daniel Bryan's popularity and his momentum. I mean, yeah, Daniel Bryan did rip it from a UFC guy, Silva, the yes chant, but come on, man. This is Daniel Bryan's
chant in WWE.
My goodness. WWE need to, get their act together.
I agree.
And, of course, CM Punk finally got his hand on Heyman at Hell in the Cell. He defeated Wyatt back again, and he basically beat Heyman with a kendo stick, on the top of the cell, and then delivered the go to sleep.
So man, Ryback is shocked.
What are you saying?
Ryback, man, his career is going up
yes.
tools, man.
Right, yeah, Ryback's career was shot ever since he ever since they fed him to the Shield and made, Cena, basically, make him look like he's nothing, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They should have never turned him heel. Yeah, he got Goldberg chance, but he was over with the, feed me more. It's like what they did with Alberto Del Rio. They took the most entertaining thing about these guys who are trying to establish themselves as, you know, legitimate WWE superstars, and then WWE just takes what they did and just destroyed their casters.
Yep, pretty much.
That's why you can't take them seriously. Ryback, I mean, who's going to take Ryback seriously anymore? I mean, he had a match like a few months ago where, he, you know, as a bad guy, he's crying because his hamstring pulled on him. And he got the match, you know, ended or disqualified because of that. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, and we didn't even talk about Kane unmasking himself, and now he's going to be an authority slave, basically, and basically be a hingeman to do whatever Stephanie wants him to do.
Stephanie and Triple H.
Yep. And I don't know if you noticed, the Shield look like they're about to break up a little bit. Because this week, Dean Ambrose kept hinting that he's the only guy with the championship. And the other Shield members were staring at him when he was saying that. Like, did he just say that or something? They look like they were about to beat him up.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
I think it might be time for the Shield because, I mean, you got the Wyatt family now trying to take over the WWE, so maybe it is time for them to break up, maybe, and have them stand apart. Maybe the other two could remain the Shield and, what's
Dean
his name?
Ambrose?
Dean Ambrose can finally become a sole wrestler.
Maybe you're right. You know what? Maybe you have a point there. But I think I'd do it, like, around WrestleMania. Right now,
yeah.
I think it's too early to break them up.
But tension
I don't mind
is building.
Yeah, I don't mind them adding tension because, you know, those guys, even though they've been around for like a year or so, I mean, they're one of the dominant, it's like what JBL said, you know, those guys are, you know, one of the top factions we've had, you know, in a long time.
Yeah, definitely.
And let me think, what else happened? Oh, yes, Cena defended his WCW champion, I mean, the World Heavyweight Championship, as it's now called. Against Sandow. And Sandow, you know, he had his first championship opportunity blown. He became the second ever guy to lose his Money in the Bank opportunity after Cena a year ago when Big Show interfered. But in my opinion, he's the first legitimate guy to lose because there was no interference or of any kind.
Yep.
And hopefully Sandow will get a legitimate opportunity to be a champion.
I think so. I think they're going to start giving him a push, especially after that great match on the Raw with Cena.
Yeah, I would assume so. And TNA news, I don't know if you heard, the Smashing Punk and Headman, Billy Corgan, he's expected to be one of the people who might buy TNA. You know, there's Eric Bischoff, who's rumored to maybe buy it. Jeff Jarrett might rebuy the company he founded. And a dark horse is WWE.
I could see WWE purchasing it and just destroying it.
But I doubt they're going to allow WWE buy it again.
Yeah.
But then again, money talks. So we shall see.
These wrestling organizations, you know, they don't have WWE money, you know. That's why they can't stay in business, you know.
Well, yeah, that's true.
They don't have the popularity or, you know, the backing of these other companies supporting them. Like, you have companies backing WWE, you know. So.
Oh, yeah. But then again, WWE, you know, got popular because, you know, they bought out basically all the top guys and, you know, basically bought out all those other wrestling territories that, you know, dominated, you know, the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's basically why WWE, you know, is, you know, the leader in sports entertainment.
Yeah.
You got anything you'd like to say?
The New York City Marathon today was held.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we had the New York City first time in 2 years, because last year because of Hurricane Sandy, you know, the marathon wasn't able to race. You know, it was good to see that. I think a lady from, I'm trying to remember what place it was, Kenya, she won for the women.
Yeah, Jepto Let me see. Prisha Jepto from Kenya won in the woman's side.
Congratulations to her. And
she
won
2 hours, 25 minutes, 7 seconds. This is the time.
Very good. And who won for the men?
For the men, it was Kenya's Jeffrey Mutai who won the men's race. So this is the third time the Kenyans swept both the men's and women's titles.
Congratulations to them. You know, they're
damn Africans.
Because I ingest, of course.
But, no, I don't.
But well, he does. That's not going to come over there. Seriously, you know, congratulations to them, you know, for, you know, winning the New York City Marathon.
Yeah.
And, you know, check out this guy, Mac's show, iMac, Saturdays 11 p.m., and come back next week, Sunday 6 p.m., only on Block Talk Radio. Check out this show, Sports Urban Legend. So, with Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, Lynn Rameau. I'll see you guys next week.